Hey, Chris Manning here from Locked On Cavs. Coming up on today's show, Evan and I are going to talk about some of the things players that are actually going to go back to play in the bubble. We'll get to have I've been talking about kind of Kyrie Irving, obviously kind of one of the big players involved in talking about that. We're also going to talk about an article Evan wrote at Forbes about possible mid-level exception options for the Cavs this summer. That's one of the ways they can spend money. Certainly the cap implications that we do not know yet. We'll see if that's the case and kind of what that ultimately looks like. But this is ultimately going to be a really interesting, ultimately a very interesting summer in a lot of different ways for the NBA, and we'll be following along as much as we can here. It's obviously very complicated. Things are changing as we continue to go through here, but we're going to do our best to kind of sort through it and talk through it. Today's episode, though, is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Cleveland Cavaliers select Darius Garland from Vanderbilt University.
My. It's called the Kevin Love Show.
Kyrie Irving, he's gone. Xbox at him today at the cube.
On the blow block.
He put him in cement boots. Colin Sexton for two.
The away goes. Locked up. Playoff winner.
Cleveland, this is for you.
Evan, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Not too much. We were talking on before this. The Pokemon expansion is out, and I've been sinking my teeth into that, and maybe sinking my teeth in a little bit too deeply. I'm pretty much more or less wrapped up on the Isle of Armor, and still watching Avatar, and EA announced Skate 4, and like I told you again before we started recording, they canned the Bad Company remaster, which is another game from my high school days that my friends and I played a lot, but that game died, so Skate 4 can live, so... what did it cost? Everything, as Thanos would say. But yeah, I'm good otherwise. How are you?
You know, doing good. Sinking my teeth into a book about Jurgen Klopp, the great Liverpool former Dortmund manager. Do you know who that is? If I say Jurgen Klopp, can you picture him?
Didn't he manage Team USA?
Okay, we're going to skip. No, that's Jurgen Klinsmann.
So there you go.
It's another German. Wow.
At least I'm familiar with some football with an umlaut things. Who's Akron's old coach? Caleb
Porter now coaches the Columbus Crew.
Oh, good for him and their new stadium too. So yeah, and it's all coming up, Milhouse. There was a lot of soccer on yesterday. I saw that. I thought of you. And
Premier League's back, baby. Tottenham Hotspur, Manchester United, Friday, 3:15 p.m. Gonna watch.
I saw Chelsea had a big signing, so shout out to friend
Timo
of the pod.
Werner, the 24-year-old German, played for RB Leipzig, which is another Red Bull club. It's one of those like the Red Bull, like there's the New York Red Bulls, and then they just spend a bunch of money to like increase this really bad team into like a branding exercise.
Well,
capitalism, am I right?
Yeah, you're so right. Foot in the ball, and shout out to friend of the pod Larry Nance Jr., who's a Chelsea guy. I'm sure he's very happy. But let's, speaking of Larry Nance, the Cavs aren't obviously going to Orlando this year.
Our segues of late have just been incredible. I just want to say that
maybe it's because my brain, I'm like chaotic brain dead at this point, and like
same
the life is going back to normal, even though I don't agree with it. And I think that's another good segue and launching point. There's a few NBA players that do not agree with the NBA coming back, one of which being former Cavalier point guard Kyrie Irving. Chris, what are your thoughts on the whole situation as I kind of pull up some of the bigger quotes that have been floating around on this?
Well, I think the unfortunate part about it, I will say this, is I think the what is being talked about and like what I think, frankly, a lot of like crappy basketball websites covering this are taking
Perkins.
The whole perk KD, like just following that is like, this is like another NBA social media thing, I think is stupid. I think that's really stupid. I think that's a dumb way to approach covering this. And if you're doing that, you should stop and reconsider what you're doing.
No, 100%. And I'm going to step on my soapbox for a second here. My frustration is fucking ESPN's coward Adrian Wojnarowski. He blocked me, so I'll call him that. It's not like he's going to listen to me anyway. what it felt like a hit piece, you know, classic Yahoo Woj coming out to rear his ugly head again of talking base, more or less saying, like, this is Kyrie being Kyrie, this is Flat Earth Kyrie, this is Conspiracy Kyrie. For those of you who don't know, last Friday, and this is for Friday's episode, so a week from today's episode ago, Kyrie held a players-only call where they discussed some of the concerns that they have with the NBA resuming play in Orlando and everything else. And like Woj pointed out some of the other things, like how Kyrie is hoping to get free stuff from sponsorship opportunities and things like that, and just his frustrations at that. And then kind of, you know, alluded to the fact that Kyrie was saying, like, one, the NBA rules are kind of restrictive in the fact that it's going to be super hard to control a bunch of grown men who more or less have to be largely celibate for the next 3 months. That's going to be tough to control. So, like, you can't control that really well. Like, all the power to the NBA, but especially the fact that Disney officials can come and go to begin with. Like, it's not really a bubble. It's more of a dome with a bunch of holes in it. Kyrie has his concerns about that, about people actually, you know, catching this disease that can, you know, kill you. A valid concern as well. And the fact that, more so that there's a lot more pressing things besides a global pandemic in this country right now. There's a lot of social justice and racial change about the systemic racism and oppression and, you know, just overall racism from the country's police force. And Kyrie has a legitimate concern that if we start going back to normalcy in this country, with sports resuming play, that these issues are again going to sit on the back burner, and we're going to kind of start glossing over it and trying to go back to whatever life was before these protests happened. And I think that's 100% valid, because it's really, his comments really brought a lot of ugly out of people who were like, oh, it's Kyrie being Kyrie, he's just being a conspiracy whack job, and shut up, and more or less just saying shut up and dribble at this point and just go out there and play even though he's not playing. And
just without that classic Fox News varnish.
Yeah. Makes my blood boil. And just to pull up, and then Shams Charania, you know, he should be he's an honorary friend of the pod, even though he's never on it because he hasn't blocked me yet. So he put out in a piece where Kyrie discusses, and he says, I don't support going into Orlando. I'm not with that systemic racism and the bullshit. Something smells a little fishy. Whether we want to admit it or not, we are targeted as black men every day we wake up. And I think that's just, that's a serious thing. And I think, you know, for once in his life, Kyrie's a dude who's kind of nonchalant and aloof about most things. And if this is something he's passionate and caring about, it's the right thing to be caring about. And I think he's 100% right in this regard as well.
Yeah, I would just say there's a couple things. Number one, you and I are both white. You and I are both, there's some privilege and some, even though you and I are, I think, both correctly empathetic towards people of color and wondering the implications of this and wondering, you know, wanting them to, I think, get change, and we try to be allies. And I think, I think for me at least, one of the things I want to do differently is kind of using that empathy in my coverage a little bit more and treating them sort of more like human beings and whatnot. The other thing I'll say is that I found really interesting is we don't know the content of some of these calls. What I would love to know, I guess the anecdote that sticks out to me a lot, and I know this isn't something Michelle Roberts, head of the NBAPA, talked about, is kind of following in more of the John Carlos model. Now, if you don't know who John Carlos is, number one, there's a great book that Dave Zirin helped him do called The John Carlos Story. John Carlos is the 1968 U.S. bronze medalist who, along with another U.S. black Olympian, put his fist up in the air at the Mexico City Olympics on the medal stand in solidarity with black power and African-American rights and civil rights in the 60s. He spoke on there's those two calls. There was the one last Friday. There was the one before that on a Monday. John Carlos was on that first call. I would love to kind of know what insight he provided to them in this moment. And because he remains a very outspoken activist and for people of color in this country. And he's one of the legendary sports activists. You know, he set the groundwork for what a lot of players are doing now. The other thing about this is that Kyrie Irving is involved in the NBAPA. He's an elected vice president.
So yeah, he's the vice president of the association. So he's looking out for the best interests of the players that he represents as well. So I don't think this is coming from a bad place.
No, like the flat earth thing was obviously weird, and like Kyrie can do some very aloof stuff. The personality parts of him obviously are Very a complicated thing for him, obviously. Yeah. You know,
like, no, he has a lot of baggage, so at face value, it is hard to take him seriously. But once you kind of read into the context and you kind of realize what is going on in the big picture here, it makes a lot of sense in why he's saying it to begin with.
So, and I'm empathetic to, like, some of, like, he's actually a guy that I think I understand. If I was him, I probably would act some of the same way in terms of not wanting to engage with people and talk and not have my story, like, told by other people. Yeah. He's a guy that I would love to just hear him kind of speak honestly about a lot of stuff, about his feelings about things and whatnot. Cause I think he is an interesting guy. Mm-hmm. And I would love to just, his brain is just a unique one among athletes, I think. And I would like to pick his brain about that. But, you know, like, well, I'm very sure we'll see protests in Orlando. I'm very sure we're going to see protests among WNBA players who, unless we forget, really have done, I think, more, frankly, in terms of using their platform.
Maya Moore gave up her career for
social. Well, not only that, but like during like 2016, when like Philando Castile and other instances of police brutality, they like were at games doing this. Like you have players in the last year, like I believe Natasha Cloud talking about like gun violence, and I think they've used their platform very aggressively in a way that NBA players sometimes have not. So mm-hmm. I think when basketball from the WNBA and the NBA comes back in this summer, we're gonna see some, I think, very clear protests. And I think Kyrie's concerns are not unfounded, but mm-hmm. I don't suspect that moment is gonna be lost.
No, I don't think it's gonna be lost either, because whether you love him or hate him, Kyrie is one of the more prominent figures in the NBA, and he is rabble-rousing a bit to raise awareness in the fact that, and you know, kind of question the fact is, this is kind of me putting a tinfoil hat a little bit. I've always kind of questioned legitimacy of how quote-unquote woke the NBA actually is, and I kind of feel like maybe this is what Kyrie's doing too, saying like, listen, the NBA can say they're as progressive as they are, but let's actually put the ball on their court and see if they'll actually let these athletes use this platform and opportunity to raise awareness and make sure that these peaceful protests still occur, even if they're stuck inside a bubble as well. I mean, a lot of people are going to be watching this because it is going to be a big deal that organized sports are returning. Is that something I do wonder about? And I guess my question for you, Chris, is it's more or less said that Kyrie Irving was willing to give up everything in order to, you know, make a difference in social justice reform for the African-American community. Do you think he'd be willing to retire and just give up everything for this? Because it's always been something that's been said about Kyrie is like, he doesn't want to play this game forever, and kind of once he finds his calling, he's ready to retire young. And I feel like maybe this might be his calling. And if this comes to shove, I wouldn't be surprised if Kyrie announced it, like, listen, I'm done playing basketball. I'm going to step away from the court and make a difference off the court by using the financial means he has and the resources that he's accumulated through his time as a celebrity in order to make this happen.
Well, I'll answer that after the break, but Evan, let's tell everyone about today's sponsor, and that is Built Bar. Built Bar, as you know, is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. They come in a bunch of amazing different flavors, 16 amazing ones to be precise, 8 chocolate/nut flavors, 8 chocolate/nut-free flavors. They're covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew, and they're healthy for you. These are great for the health-conscious guy. They help you lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, and you have great flavors like peanut butter brownie, the one I had today, actually. 20 grams of protein, 170 calories, just 3 grams of sugar, and 3 grams of net carbohydrates. And now's a really great time to go check out Built Bar. You can go to builtbar.com right now, and you can get up to 50% off on everything. They're having a great sale, and all the proceeds of their sales run are going to charity, so please go take advantage of this right now on a bunch of different fronts. But on your first order, you can also go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order. Again, promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com. Again, protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. What more could you want from, you know, a little delicious treat that also has some that's kind of healthy for you? But after the break, I'll answer Evan's question about Kyrie, and I'll make my counterpoint right after this. All right, Evan, so I'll say this. I think I was listening to the ESPN Daily episode they did on Maya Moore on Thursday. I would listen to that if you haven't
today heard. Or Thursday than last
week. Well, June 18th.
Okay. God, it's so hard to believe it's June 18th. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it 100% is. We're gonna be like, it's gonna be like Christmas before we know it, and
only a few days ago, Chris, you're a whole year younger, so I understand. It's been a
yeah. I'm in my late 20s now. You know,
we're having a serious conversation, but I, you know, have to break the tension a little bit with wisecracks. So
I'm all for it.
So the floor is yours.
Okay, so I think about Maya Moore, who makes far less money from endorsements, from her actual salary, has to play more overseas to like make more money, and which is just remains one of the craziest things. You have these players at their highest level playing year round and then still coming back and playing it and seeing a high level in the WNBA, and have been, they've been doing this for years. Her being willing to do that is like probably not talked about enough in terms of how like remarkable that is and selfless that is of her. It'd be, and she's like in her league, and I mean, just regardless, she's one of the, arguably the GOAT in women's basketball, and you could,
oh, yeah,
like, she's gave that all up to go fight for criminal justice and get someone freed from prison. When you think about Kyrie doing it, like, he, and also kind of with the, that thing that was thrown out there, like, let's go start our own league kind of thing, if you think about some of the, there are two sides to this. I think you know, he could be a guy that I do think he probably like, if he plays out his contract, like he'll probably, I could see this being his last contract and stuff like that. But I think with guys like him, guys like LeBron, guys like Steph, anyone that has that, has made a lot of money and can kind of go do some, make some impact on their community and kind of, they could really make a seismic impact and do something like that. If they want to, they also are going to be able to do that. I think with the platform that they're going to have in Orlando, the entire country is going to be like, that's going to be the sports that are on, you know, for the 90% of American sports fans right there. You know, some of them, like maybe don't like basketball, will consider it, you know, to not their thing or for whatever reason. And, you know, baseball is kicking itself in its head right now, but, the NBA, NBA like is progressive as it says. It's ultimately like run by people that make it are very, very rich, and on the owner side, and a lot of them, including the Cavs owner, that have donated money to people that are not on the right side of these issues. You know, Tillman Fertitta is kind of the boogeyman of this, but like Dan Gilbert's,
they're kind of, the NBA as a whole is progressive enough until it affects their bottom dollar, because the China situation is still pretty telling. On the whole, how progressive is this league, actually? But go ahead, sorry.
Well, and again, it's just like, you can check, you can do a pretty quick check and find out how many owners, like, donated to Donald Trump's re-election campaign or helped him get elected or, like, have been buddy-buddy with him at White House events. Just saying, the Cavs owner is one of those people. That's just a reality, that Donald Trump has called him a good friend, okay? So that's the ownership of this league. I think for Kyrie to come out and say stuff like this, I think it carries weight because he actually could follow through with it.
Yeah.
This is a guy that like has the big Nike contract. He's made a lot of money. He's accomplished a lot. But I think for guys a little lower down the totem pole, and I think, you know, Sterling Brown talked about this in an ESPN article, and other players have talked about this, and I think the NBAP as a whole has kind of made this argument. It's like, not all these guys like have the financial security to like give up these paychecks and then to go do this and use their platform. And I think this is their platform. Austin Rivers, I think, you know, eloquently made that point. I think that's sort of the thing here, is I do think ultimately what wins out here is not like forming another league, which there's a lot of logistical stuff about that. But I think to the extent that within the structure that we exist in, we're in the player empowerment era. I think this is where you will see it used for social good in a way that we maybe haven't seen before, would be my guess, because we are seeing players push for what they want more than ever before and being able to have the public on their side in a lot of ways. And I can't imagine, like, the NBA, it would be such a ridiculous, like, just from a purely PR sense, not even like a moral sense, it would be such a bad look if the NBA is, like, actually like, enforces its anthem policy, for instance.
Yeah. I agree. I think this is, like I said before, this is going to be a test of how progressive the NBA actually is. And no, you made a good point about Kyrie, where he definitely strikes you as the kind of guy where he has accomplished enough in his career and his life, and doesn't want to have to retire when his body's completely breaking down, or be able to enjoy the remaining youthful years of his career, because it's still hard to believe that he too, like us, Chris, is getting close to 30, and he's going to be looking at, you know, when is enough enough, and maybe this is his calling. And I think, yeah, no, if you really challenged him on it, Kyrie's also the guy to spite people who challenge him on this and would be more willing to prove his point by just hanging it all up and never looking back. But I think he could do a lot of good if he does do that. And I don't know. It's just kind of nice to see that there is somebody out there who legitimately cares as much as he does. And I mean, forming your own league certainly is an ambitious goal, but I think it's something that could happen if they really wanted it to. But I mean, the NBA could just squash that pretty easily. But I guess to jump ship a little bit, because I just don't want us to be two white guys giving our thoughts on something that we truly don't understand as well as an African-American man, woman, transgender person ever could. I feel like the NBA's bubble situation in Disney is going to be an absolute mess, and I feel like this is going to be a failure to launch as well. I've been flipping through the rules every now and then, and like I've been seeing like the pieces and bits and pieces of the document that Disney is the NBA and Disney has proposed. And Chris, I'm kind of wondering what your thoughts are, since you're not on social media and you're not really seeing the jokes as much as I am whenever I am checking Twitter and such. But what are your thoughts on how the NBA is handling this? Like, are they doing a good enough job, or do you think this is going to be a failure like I do?
I think it'll ultimately happen.
Oh, I do too. I just think it's going to be a mess.
I'm of two minds. I think it'll probably be successful in some ways. I think a positive COVID test is inevitable for some star player.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I don't know.
I just think it's going to be weird.
I don't know what the strip club situation is in Orlando, but I bet you money James Harden ain't going to be staying in Disney unless he can somehow sneak his escorts through the alleged underground tunnels that the mascots use. That's my only thoughts.
Well, the other thing with this is, like, there's just a lot of unknown variables, you know, like injuries are going to happen too, you know?
Yeah.
They've had essentially an offseason. I just think everything about this is going to be weird, and I feel I just think every declaration about anyone knowing what's going to happen, I find faulty, just in that it being weird is like the only fact that exists in it, and everything else I think no one knows.
Yeah, I agree. And see, the thing is, emotionally, I should say, I would like basketball to come back because, again, like you said, baseball keeps fumbling this situation where it's a golden opportunity for a big three. I guess hockey is a fringe fourth team or fourth league in this situation, but baseball has this golden opportunity to seize the moment where a lot of people are largely staying home, watching TV, not really doing much. I know stuff's opening back up, but as the numbers are spiking and spiking, I feel less incentivized to go back out and try and be quote unquote a part of normal life. This is an opportunity. Like, emotionally, I'm excited for a sport that I love to cover, love to watch, love to see the highlights and everything else in between, because nothing touches playoff basketball, and especially in this situation where it's going to be a little weird and a little clunky, but it's going to still be fun. Like, that's fun. But like, mentally and logically at the same time, I think, like you said, it's going to be inevitable for a player to test positive for COVID, and I still have the fear that if it's a major player, whether that's Giannis or LeBron or AD or Embiid, or hell, let's say even Kevin Durant's there just watching, cheering on the Nets, and he already had it. And so it's going to be a massively bad look on the NBA's part. And I'm kind of surprised at this point that it hasn't been more of a PR nightmare for them, because from what I heard when I was talking to league officials, at least, that one of the biggest fears was starting the league back up is the NBA is going to have a cachet of testing kits where they can test people regularly. That's not readily available to the public yet, and I'm still actually genuinely surprised it's not as big of an uproar as it is for a professional league to have all these test kits, but whatever. I don't know. Maybe things will change once the league actually gets closer and closer to launch, but I don't know. I think it's going to work. It's going to be weird. But I also think it's just the reality of the situation where the basketball wants to come back. But at the same time, I hope that it doesn't go horribly wrong. But I don't know. I'm a cynic to begin with, so I'm cautiously pessimistic about the situation as a whole. And I just think there's so many variables and factors in the fact that there's so many people at this park, that it's not going to go according to plan, and it's going to go wrong. And I'm sure it's going to be the joke of NBA Twitter when some superstar player or player gets busted trying to sneak off campus and whatever else. I mean, shout outs to Justin Rowan, a friend of me in the pod, more of a friend, because he gave us a lovely shout out on the chase down, Chris.
Oh, thank you, Justin.
Yeah, this will be the first time in 34 years the Boston Celtics have one more ring than the Cavs, because players have to wear those health and safety rings to let you know, like, you've been standing next to someone within 6 feet for more than 5 seconds, and it checks your vitals and everything. So, like, I got a hearty chuckle out of that. So, like, there's good wisecracks here, but at the same time, I think health and safety is definitely just being thrown to the wayside as a whole. Something that's definitely telling is, like, back in March, everyone was super serious about being healthy and safe during this, and now that we're in June, people are kind of ready to say, like, you know what, we'll just take our chances, let's go out there, if I get sick, I get sick. And I think that's such a fool's errand and such a stupid mentality to have.
Yeah, that's right. Evan, though, let's take a little break here, but before we do that, tell everyone about our other sponsor on today's show.
Well, Chris, why don't you hop in the car with me? We're going to drive on over to the third segment. But while we do, yeah, there you go. Skirt, skirt, everyone. Skirt. There we go. I like it. I drive a 2007 Toyota Camry. And, you know, for those of you who do basic math like I did just now, that's 13 years old. And I was telling Chris before we recorded, I had to replace some parts for my car. And boy, oh boy, do I wish I used rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questions, or wait while the counterman orders parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket, so why aren't you using it? Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box to let them know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Yeah, please go support Rock Auto and get your car parts there. And we'll be right back talking about some mid-level exception options for the Cavs right after this. All right, Evan, let's just do this quickly here because we're going to have a lot to talk about going forward. You wrote about this at Forbes, some top three mid-level exception targets. Let's save the Tristan conversation for maybe we'll just do a Tristan future episode next week. I think we should probably just do that.
Yeah.
We have nothing else to talk about.
Send off our Canadian comrade.
Yes.
Who do you think the Cavs, for those listening, the Cavs actually don't really have a lot of options in free agency this summer, because by all accounts Andre Drummond is expected to take his $28.7 million player option and remain with the Cavs at least through the trade deadline at the earliest, I feel. So their remaining option is vet man deals, which is like what Matthew Dellavedova is going to be signed to, and then they have a $9.8 million mid-level exception available, and the Cavs can get creative with it. They could sign multiple players. The Raptors did this last year when they signed Rondae Hollis-Jefferson and Stanley Johnson and a few others. Or they could just go big name hunting. And, you know, the Cavs are talking about being a playoff team. And I talked about a few players, and I'm just kind of going to give the floor to Chris here to see who he thinks the Cavs should target. Because there's one guy out of my list of three not named Tristan Thompson, so two, that I think the Cavs should target. And I could always come up with another one if he convinces me. So, Chris, who do you think the Cavs should go after?
Rondae Hollis-Jefferson makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
Okay. My favorite one is Torrey Craig.
Oh, I didn't even think of Torrey Craig.
That's my favorite among Cavs possible fits. Just getting, like, again, there's the question of, like, how good a guy like that can be when he's, like, brought into a situation that's not as optimal for him to succeed. And, you know, he's 29. Like, it's not like Torrey Craig has, like, gone, but that dude's, like, a really, really good defender. Mm-hmm. And the Cavs could just use a wing like that. Yeah. The other one that I think maybe you could even get him on a Met Venom deal, considering his injury issues and his skill set. But I'm all in on trying to get Andre Roberson rolling again in Cleveland.
That could be a lot of fun. Andre Roberson could be fun. I think I went ooh at Torrey Craig because I too like Torrey Craig a lot as well. Like you said, there are concerns about what he brings to the table when you have a team that is not as talented in Cleveland as he does have in Denver right now. KCP, I think, is a fun option. That's who I have listed in the article. I think Kentavious Caldwell-Pope could be a fun addition to the Cavs. He could start, come off the bench, kind of fill that auxiliary shooting role, something the Cavs obviously need other than just, you know, options to score from the perimeter. That could definitely help, but he might not be a realistic option. But, you know, maybe if Dwayne Bacon doesn't really command a lot of looks in free agency, he doesn't want to be with the Hornets any longer. He's more or less said that they just want – he wants to move on from the situation, and I feel like it's mutual with Charlotte as well. He didn't really play himself as many favors, I guess, just based on like the light reading I did on the whole situation as a whole altogether. But I think Dwayne Bacon could be a lot of fun too. He's only 24 years old. He's 6'6". Yep. He can play the wing. He can kind of just be a flip player. You kind of figure out with this MLE situation, and if he sticks long term, you figure it out, and you roll with him. And I mean, Derek Jones Jr. could be an option as well.
We talked about him on yesterday's show.
Yeah, yep. We talked about him on yesterday's show. I think that's gonna be a fun option as well. I mean, there's a couple guys out there, I feel like, especially because free agency is gonna be super weird this year, that they're gonna be signing these 1-year deals, and if you can get a fat 9.8, if the Cavs unload their entire 9.8 million MLE on one player, like, there's a good chance you could get a decent player. I mean, hell, maybe Joe Harris makes a triumphant return to Cleveland and doesn't get utilized properly, then gets flipped at the deadline for more assets. Who knows? But he's definitely an option. I'm just kind of thinking who else is out there. But no, I think a lot of the players, there's a few solid wing options that the Cavs could target with their MLE, and I think that's the biggest position to need, especially considering that this draft is so guard heavy, and it feels more and more likely the Cavs are either going to be taking a guard or Onyeka Okongwu, hopefully. So you could definitely target a wing player with this MLE and then just kind of roll with it there.
Can I tell you the one that people, that have I'm not going to name names to not be dick, but the people that have like a platform among Cavs media that they've floated out there as like a smart option that I don't quite understand. Josh Jackson.
I know who you're talking about, but Josh Jackson has all the physical ability. He's like a forward. He's a forward's version of Marquise Chris. He has all the physical ability to be a super great basketball player, but he has the brain of a scarecrow, and just can't put it all together. And I'm not really that into Josh Jackson. I feel like that trouble's not really worth taking that risk on. And I don't know. I don't even know what's gone on in Memphis with him. I've talked to Ty Windish in the past because he covers the Wisconsin Herd. Like, he's played well for the Memphis Hustle and everything. But, yeah, I think Josh Jackson could, you know, destroy a young and impressionable locker room pretty easily. Especially, you can have take some words from you, Chris. You can have as many adults as you want in the room with, like, Kevin Love, Andre Drummond, Tristan Thompson, Matthew Dellavedova, and so on. But I feel like Josh Jackson could sour the waters enough to kind of hurt some of the development of the younger players in Cleveland if they actually wanted him to be here as like an actual option.
My concern is more, I guess, just about like his actual skill set. Some of the stuff he did in Memphis like was actually pretty interesting. His numbers are up. Looked a little better, looked a little more comfortable. Maybe like the experience of having to play for the Memphis Hustle kind of humbled him in some ways, but not a good three-point shooter for his career, like only under 30% for his career on 4 attempts this season at about 32%. That's not really cutting it. Not the kind of defender you would really want to kind of bolster your wing. I mean, if the Cavs are going to like add wings this offseason, I want guys that have like a pulse on defense because they don't really like Jetty kind of knows what he's doing, but there's limits there. KPJ is still really young, fouls a lot. You know, don't really know what Dylan Windler looks like in that sense. Don't, you know, there's just a lot of questions there. I want wings that have defensive pulse. That's just not Josh Jackson's game. Mm-mm. I'm pro rolling the dice on talents. His obviously off the court stuff is not optimal. You could talk me into it. It's not where I would start in that process.
Definitely not. I think you and I both are just out on Josh Jackson as a whole, and it's the weird time for the Cavs. You're gonna start seeing some odd takes out there, and I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe the Cavs try to do a reclamation project with Josh Jackson, and they flip this house into something more desirable down the line. But I think there, like you said, there's just better options that are a little bit more stable for the Cavs, with this exception of theirs.
Yeah, I'd agree. We'll talk about this more in the coming weeks. I'll link Evan's piece below. But Evan, I'm glad we're back. I'm glad mm-hmm. we're kind of got back in the flow. It's two shows in 2 days again, and after it felt like we didn't record for like a month, even though it was like 5 days, and it's going to be rolling again.
7 days. I was looking at the audio I sent you yesterday. I'm like, because Chris, you told me, like, hey, it's been like a week since we talked. I'm like, yeah, I guess. And no, good chemistry, good vibes. Have you been reading?
Yeah, reading the Jurgen Klopp book.
No. I don't care about your soccer book. I'm talking about Vintage Cavs for the book club,
no,
Chris.
No, we have to set the schedule for that for me to start on that.
Okay, well,
that's my rule.
I read it on my own volition. What the H-E double hockey... Sorry for my language, folks. What the H-E-C-K is going on here?
Well, I do have it in my hand right now, and I flipped open to the picture of Austin Carr with the cake.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just so great.
I have to link you a video.
Do you know Austin Carr, big popcorn and orange soda guy before games?
Times were different back then. I wish.
No, like now.
Oh, now?
Yeah.
Huh. Well,
yeah. I mean, explains a lot.
Hey, if you're Mr. Cavalier and you're a member of the media, you don't get the standard popcorn and water bottles that we do. You get the orange soda as well. So.
Yeah. You get that sugar rush. But yeah, we're going to start this soon. I think maybe 2 weeks, maybe we should start this.
Yeah, I think that's...
Let me pull... I have my... Are you a planner person? I'm a planner. I'm like a physical planner person.
By planner, my phone's sitting on the charger in my other room. I just tell Lego, hey, Siri, remind me in X amount of days at this time to do this. And she does it for me. So yeah, right. I guess.
So here's what we're going to do. Today is... you're hearing this episode on Friday, June 19th. So that would take us to 26th. We're going to start the book club. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Friday, July 3rd.
Okay. I like
Friday,
it.
Friday, July 3rd. Starting right here. I'm writing it down in my planner.
Book club for part 2, Born on the 4th of July.
Merca. and we will... Do what? How many chapters in this book again? Pulling it up, looking. There are a lot, and they didn't number them, which is annoying.
I think there's like 18, but like I told you when I was flipping through, one of the chapters is quite literally 2 or 3 pages about the naming of the Cavs. And
that's
I'm
fair.
Like, yes. So it kind of varies.
So we'll do, let's just start with the first 4 chapters. Why not?
Sounds good to me. I read the entire book, so I'll be reading again. But, yeah, no, it sounds good to me. And
so get your copies of the book.
Yeah, support your local, if you can. Yeah, support your local bookstore if you can. Don't support the big chains, because I know society's recovering, but there's a lot of these smaller mom-and-pop brick-and-mortar stores are going to need your support more than ever. So, yeah, no, it's a fun... As someone who's read it and, you know, not reading about soccer, I can say it's a really fun read. I didn't have a lot of...
My book is translated from German, okay?
Cool. My... Cool, like,
well, you know,
again, Chris, you were that kid who went to Europe
for when the
once.
Cavs signed Maxi Kleba or like draft a German player. I'm gonna be ready, and they're gonna be like, I hate soccer, and be like, great, thanks,
me too. That's how I'll be like, yo, what's up?
well,
talk about
let's get out of here.
Soccer. Yeah, let's get out of here. We're kind of keeping people here, so
no,
thanks,
fine.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Support Built Bar, support Rock Auto.
Support the Chase Down podcast again. They gave us a really sweet shout out. Yeah, Carter begrudgingly thanked me for bugging them. So yeah, no, check them out. They've been doing some good work. But, you know, as always, just remember Locked On Cavs is still the number one Cleveland Cavaliers podcast. If you think otherwise, you're just wrong. Fight me on Twitter if you have to at AmNotEvan. Chris isn't
only,
on Twitter,
but I'll
be fielding all tweets for him.
I am on Twitter. I'm just not back on it. I just want to say we're number one because you wished me a happy birthday. Neither of them did.
That's fair.
And they're friends with me on Facebook. It's not like they're not friends with me on Facebook. I was a little insulted.
I know we're wrapping up. You want to know how I found, remembered it was your birthday?
How?
You were tweeting or texting me about a comic or tweeting about a comic. I forget one of the two, but you said, like, this comes out on my birthday.
Oh, yeah. Holy Strange hell. Adventures number 2. I haven't even got to go buy that yet.
There you go. And I'm like, holy hell, I'm old. I'm like, what day is today? I'm like, oh, shit, it's his birthday.
So. Yeah, that's right. Thanks, Twitter.
Yeah.
Well, Jack Dorsey, the only good billionaire. That's my take. All right, let's get out of here before I say something that's going to get me fired. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.